Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the house of the Lord this morning and offer praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. As you've been gathering, there have been announcements flashing before you on the screen, so I hope you've been paying attention to some of the things that are happening here around the church over the next little while. I guess a reminder for it's not too late to say what a wonderful Bible study we're going to have this fall on the book of Daniel. So we're looking at Daniel, a very interesting book, and we encourage you, if you'd like to be part of that, to join us. We met for the first time this past Wednesday, so we did kind of the introductory stuff, but we're just getting into it, so So don't feel like you've missed too much, and feel free to come along. Curious about pickleball. Faith and Nurture folks have set aside some time on Sunday afternoons for a little bit of fun and gathering together as a congregation, and they're doing it around the activity of pickleball. So if you would like to, if you've never played pickleball before, this is your opportunity. If you've looked through the glass and the doors when all those people are in taking it so seriously, this is your chance to figure out what it is that they're doing. This afternoon from 1 to 3, and we have the gym booked for, is it a couple of months? For a couple of months. So it's a come-and-go thing. You don't have to make a commitment today. If you're busy today, you can come next week or the week after. But 1 to 3, 1:30. 1:30 to 3. Thank you. And all the information is there. And finally, giving goal for the month of September. Thank you to everyone for your contributions to the life and ministry of our congregation. During the month of September, we received $11,668 toward the general fund of the church. Our giving goal was $17,900. So that means we've got a little bit of a space for growth, an opportunity for more generosity. And if you can, as you plan your giving for the month of October, if you can help us make up that little bit of a shortfall, we would be most grateful. Our giving goal for the month of October will be $14,300. So we'll work on that as we move through the month of September. We light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we are his followers seeking to walk in his path. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Welcome to this ancient place.
House of prayer for many nations, home to all who come.
Welcome to this gathering place.
Friend and stranger, saint and sinner, in all who gather here.
Come with hope or hesitation. Come with joy or yearning. All who hunger, all who thirst, for life in all its fullness.
Generous God and generous Savior, touch us through your Spirit.
Let us pray. Ruler of the nations, you have dominion over all the earth. We praise you for your name and bow down before you. You bring pride to the humble and cause the boastful to be brought low. The afflicted find hope through your mercy. The comforter, the comfortable, you challenge and chasten. As your wisdom led our fathers and mothers throughout the ages, make us receptive to the testimony of your love. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. We begin our worship this morning with the hymn, and this is a hymn that will appear before you on the screens. It's a hymn from Kenya entitled, "Here on Christ I Will Stand." And there's a fair bit of repeating in it, so you should catch on to it fairly quickly. Jesus Christ, I will stand. He's the solid rock of my life. He's the solid rock of my life. He's the solid rock of my life. There's no other place I can hide. Till the storm that rages subsides, my voice cries to God from the flood. Please be seated. And the one announcement I forgot was to welcome Bill this morning. It's a good thing he had to move this morning, Bill, or I would have forgotten it completely. I have to write these things down when the organist is behind me. But for the next couple of weeks, Bill Brown will be with us providing musical leadership, and we're very grateful to Bill for his sharing of his musical talent with us. Friends, trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess to God and to one another our failure to love our neighbor as we gather our thoughts and confessions in the words provided on the screen. O God, gladly we live and move and have our being in you. Yet always in the midst of this creation glory, we see sin's shadow and feel death's darkness. Around us in the earth, sea, and sky, the abuse of creation. Beside us in the broken, the hungry, and the poor, the betrayal of one another. And often deep within us, a striving against your spirit. O Trinity of love, forgive us that we may forgive one another. Heal us that we may be people of healing, and renew us that we may also be makers of peace. Amen. And our affirmation continues as a responsive reading. It is not true that this world and its inhabitants are doomed to die and be lost. This is true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. It is not true that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction. This is true. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word, and that war and destruction have come to stay forever. This is true. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, in whom authority will rest, and whose name will be Prince of Peace. It is not true that we are simply victims of the powers of evil that seek to rule this world. This is true. To me is given authority in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. It is not true that we have to wait for those who are specially gifted, who are the prophets of the church, before we can do anything. This is true. I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young people shall see visions, and your old folks shall dream dreams. It is not true that our dreams of liberation of humankind, our dreams of justice, of human dignity, of peace, are not meant for this earth and its history. This is true. The hour comes, and it is now, that true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue now in praise as we sing hymn 271, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing, Our God and King, 271. Please be seated. Am I in the shot? I'm in the shot. Good morning, everyone, and welcome this morning. This morning is a special Sunday within the church year and the life of the church. And it's bigger, when we say church today, it's bigger than our own congregation. This is World Communion Sunday, and so we celebrate the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ around the world gathers together each Sunday, but especially gathers around the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, celebrates the sacrament together. It's one of those things that we all do. The World Communion Sunday began at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1933. And Roy is going to put a picture of Shadyside up on the screen. Ta-da! The minister there at the time was, and the session were looking for something that would draw the life of the church together. And so the idea of gathering around the table and marking that we are gathered and yoked together as Christians by our gathering at the table was the thing that they arrived upon. And so as you see in these pictures, there are wonderful pictures from, you know what, on a Friday afternoon, I don't know what it is about Google, it must go on strike. Could I find international pictures of people celebrating communion? No, I couldn't. Monday, tomorrow morning, they'll be all over my Facebook page. But so from places from Kenya to Korea to, who comes next? Scotland, our forefathers as Presbyterians, we of course celebrate, and other places all gather together, all gather around the word and the sacrament and celebrate the goodness of our God. So as we come today to the table to celebrate the Lord's Supper, let us remember that we just don't come as one congregation here. But we come and we celebrate with the church around the world that we are united in faith and hope by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be opened to receive all that leads to life and holiness. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading from Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 to 8. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord, and say to him, take away all guilt. Accept that which is good, and we will offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. We will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their disloyalty. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall strike the root like the forests of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like that of Lebanon. They shall again live beneath my shadow. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen. Your fruit comes from me.
The responsive reading this morning is Psalm 116. The words are on the screen. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I
The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your servant girl. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The next reading is from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but to God. For no one understands them, since they are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. But those who prophesy speak to other people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. Now I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up.
Continuing to read from the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Listen for God's word to his people. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If I abide in you, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Edward Norton Lawrence Anybody know Edward Norton Lorenz? Recognize the name? Even my scientists aren't putting up their hands. You probably don't recognize his name. You may be familiar with his work, however. Lorenz was a mathematician and a meteorologist, and in 1972, Edward Norton Lorenz presented a paper to the American Association for the Advancement of Science entitled, anybody want to take a guess now? Does the flap of a butterfly's wings in Brazil set off a tornado in Texas? Right? We've heard that, right? That flapping of a butterfly's wing in some other place in the world can have effect on the weather where we are. Now, let's kind of put things right. The experiment that led to this now famous paper about a butterfly flapping its wings had nothing to do with a butterfly at all when it began. Lorenz was simply running a computer model to predict the weather. And while his 1970s computer, I'm sure probably a computer that took up about the size of this sanctuary, was grinding through its data, Lorenz wandered out of the lab to get a cup of coffee. And when he returned, the results that had been generated from his data set surprised him because they were markedly different than the original data that he had put into the machine. And therefore, it wasn't anything that he had expected. At first, he thought it was a bad tube. Somewhere in the machine, there was a fault. But before he called technical support to offer to him that wonderful advice that all technical support people give, have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again? Actually, that's probably not what they would have said to him back then, but that's, you know, the solution today. Before he called technical support to send them running through this vast machine looking for the defective tube, he thought he would stop for just a moment and look at his data to see where the error was in a hope that then he could point the technician to the right section of the machine, to the right component, and maybe the right tube. And what he discovered was that the problem wasn't the computer. There goes that excuse, folks. The problem wasn't the computer. It was a rounding error. Rather than typing in the full digits that he had had in his data set, he rounded them off to three numbers. So 0.506127 was simply 0.506. And what he discovered was that that small change, 0.00127, something that we'd probably consider completely insignificant, when carried out across the entirety of a data set for 2 or 3 months, rendered a shockingly different result. From that simple rounding error, Lorenz began then to think about it. And he determined, as somebody put it, that something as simple as the flap of a seagull's wing or a butterfly in Brazil could have significant effects on the weather thousands of miles away. And from that grew our understanding about that whole saying about the butterfly in Brazil and the tornado in Texas. Our understanding that we are all connected one to another, that something we do today, even though it might be trivial and insignificant, can have immense impact when it is magnified over time and space. But of course, we know that. Christians have long understood that interconnectedness is important. Long before Lorenz and his flawed computer model delivered him his surprising data, Jesus said these words that we hear this morning. We see the proof of the importance of our interconnectedness in our reading from John's Gospel this morning. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Therefore, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." It is one of those quintessential Johannine texts, isn't it? One in which Jesus speaks of the relationality of our faith. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in the Father. And those who remain in me will bear much fruit. And maybe it's here in this text about the vine and the branches that all of those swirling texts that Jesus says about abiding in each other finally connect and come together, and we get a sense of what he is speaking of. Trying to figure out this text, for some of us it may be a challenge, but for the gardeners amongst us, it's probably fairly simple. Perhaps the gardeners understand the text the best. If you tend a garden, then you are aware of this fact, that a garden is not just a place of unlimited growth. Vegetables must be picked at the right time. If they aren't, then they become tough and turn to seed. They're no longer food, but seed. A rhubarb patch. If you leave your rhubarb patch to go after the spring is gone, after a few weeks, it's pretty much done with. It dies and withers off and is unedible. But if you keep picking it, it will continue to regenerate itself and provide fruit through most of the summer. If you have green tomatoes on the vine, this is important. Go out this afternoon and look. If you have green tomatoes still on the vine, then now is the time to prune back all of the leaves of your plant so that it will put all of its energy into the ripening of the fruit. If you haven't pinched all the leaves off and the new growth already. Right? Pushed and challenged, tended and pruned, the garden will grow. Left alone, ignored, assuming growth is taking place, it becomes wild and ceases to bear much fruit. But a little nip here and a little pinch there will make the world of difference. Our calling as the church is to be a fellowship of faith, to be gathered together in worship and praise, in study and prayer, that we may grow in faith and bear much fruit. What you do today can make a world of difference for this congregation and the world if you bear fruit. Think about the ministry of Jesus for a minute. It had an immense impact on the lives of those whom Jesus touched. And yet, at surface level, Jesus' interactions with people were simple. They were literally a touch, a word, a request for a drink of water. But in those simple actions of touching and asking, people were assured that they were accepted and welcomed and loved by God. And the same is true for us. People enter this place on a Sunday morning to come into God's house, yes, to offer praise and thanksgiving, certainly. But on a Sunday morning, stranger and friend alike, we come seeking welcome and acceptance, hope, healing, and joy. And for all of those who come into this place, we are the messengers. You are the messengers. The challenge that faces the church in the future, we don't even know what they are. I've said to several people here, said at other places, we're writing the history of the church. No minister in the world right now goes to the library and goes, let me take out three books on what it means to be the post-COVID-19 church. Because we're still trying to figure it out. To figure out what it means and what its implications are. There are great blessings in being the post-COVID-19 church. And there are great challenges in being the post-COVID-19 church. One of the great blessings is that every church has a worldwide outreach. It used to be just Robert Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, that got on a screen on Sunday morning and preach to Reformed Christians around the world. Not any longer. As witnessed by Jamila. Good morning, Jamila. Next week when you see this. As witnessed by Jamila, who's in Japan, Jamila will see this service, and we as a congregation have a worldwide ministry. Others will watch too. Members of our congregation near and far, and others. I'm not sure if that's a blessing or a curse. And it certainly sobers up a minister every once in a while to think that this is going further than just the group of disciples that gather here on a Sunday morning. But we also know that there's a great challenge in that. While we've been able to draw many people in through technology, both people who are far away and members of our congregation who we used to call shut-ins, but now, of course, are just as present with us on a Sunday morning as we are. It's also sometimes just a little bit easier to stay at home in house coat and slippers and a better cup of coffee. Maybe stay home with communion because your wine's better, something like that. The challenge, and that's, part of our central core as a church, to be gathered together in the worship and praise and thanksgiving of God, to be neighbor for one another as we greet each other on a Sunday morning here in this place and declare that God is good and that God loves us all. Challenges and opportunities and blessings. I am the vine, and you and my Father is the vine dresser. Those who bear fruit, he prunes so that there's more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you so that you may abide in me and I in you. And just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it is connected to the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus is the branch to which we are engrafted and made part of the tree. But we are not alone as the branch. There are other vines and other branches, other arms of the church and other communities of faith around the world gathering today too. All of us remembering how we are blessed by being connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by being invited to come to a worship center, wherever that might be, a sanctuary or under a tree, to give praise and thanks to God, to know that God is good, to celebrate with simple things, with bread and with wine, to reach out and to touch another, to smile and assure them that this place is God's house, and that here everyone has a place. Thanks be to God for his blessings to us this day and always. Amen. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. And there is a response to the prayer. When you hear the words, Lord, in your mercy, you are invited to respond with, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for the faithful all over the world, that all who love you may be united in your service. We pray for your church here and around the world, that she may boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, abundant in hope, overflowing in hospitality. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peoples and leaders of the nations that they may be reconciled to one another. We pray for our First Nations as we mark this weekend and the day of truth and reconciliation. May we search for ways to tear down walls that divide us one from another and see in the face of each human being the image of the Creator. And today we pray for the nations of Colombia, Ecuador, and Venezuela as they work to establish societies of justice and peace and to lay aside the vestiges of colonialism. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who suffer from prejudice, greed, or violence, that the heart of humanity may warm with your tenderness. We pray especially for all prisoners of politics or religion, and for all refugees. We pray for all those who are oppressed, that they might find freedom and joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the land, the sea, and the sky, your whole creation, which longs for its redemption. We pray that we may live with respect for your creation and use your gifts with reverence. We pray for creation, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And we pray especially for those who are in need of your care this day, for those who are sick and those who are weighed down with worry. We remember in prayer Brian Kwan and Kelly Runyon's Kennedy as they recuperate from stays in hospital, and for all those who surround them with their love and concern. And we pray for those who are known in the silence of our hearts this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Keep us steadfast in faith and love, O Lord, as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, we pray in the manner which Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us offer what we have for the sake of others. It is a discipline of pruning, letting go of our possessions, our time, and even ourselves to extend the gospel witness into the world to bear much fruit. So be generous with your ministry of giving. Fear not. Abide in the vine. Following the prayer of dedication, we'd ask you, if you are able, to remain standing for the Apostles' Creed. Let us pray. Through our offerings, O God, give your loving spirit to a world in need of comfort. Make our many gifts one offering for the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Apostles' Creed will appear on the screen or can be found in the Book of Praise at number 539. We join our voices with that of the whole church in all time and space as we say together these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he seated at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, this is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. This table does not belong to one congregation or one denomination, but it is the table of the kingdom of God, prepared for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who long to walk in his ways. Scripture says that they will come from east and west, north and south, and take their places at the banquet table in the kingdom of God. As we come to this table today, let us come with praise, singing the hymn, Those Who Hunger Gather Gladly. The hymn is number 563, or as it appears on the screens. Please be seated. Friends, we begin our prayer with responses, and then there is a response at the end. I guess a cautionary note. This is a much shorter prayer of thanksgiving than I usually say at the table, so be ready for your part earlier than usual. Friends, lift up your hearts. Oh, the Lord be with you.
And also with you also.
There we go. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
With joy we praise you, most gracious God, for you created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. On this World Communion Sunday, we praise you for living in us now by your Spirit. And we pray that this bread and this cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we say together, may we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Amen. Friends, come now, for all is ready. The gifts of God for the people of God. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after supper, Christ took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for many for the remission of sin. So as we come to this table, let us take and eat. Remember and believe that the precious body and blood of our Lord was given for the complete forgiveness of our sins. This cup is the new covenant, which is sealed in the blood of Christ. Drink you all of it. Please join me in the closing prayer of thanksgiving. Praise to the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. Amen. And our closing praise is number 755 in the Book of Praise. Go ye into the world. 755. And now as you leave the sanctuary this day, may you know the hope to which you have been called. Experience the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And trust in God's incomparable great power for us who believe. And may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God's face turn toward you and give you peace. Amen.